taller than me.
Into yoga.
Long term.
Into
long-term.
Yoga.
Just for fun.
Must love dogs.
No smokers.
Hiking.
Camping.
Time alone.
Time alone.
Recent photos.
Must be vegan.
No moustaches.
For travel.
Must love tats.
Marriage.
Just for friends.
Just for fun.
Red wine.
Finding love.
Online.
Yes, hello, welcome to Finding Love Online. Michael with you. And in the lead up to Valentine's Day tomorrow, we're asking for your tips and advice to pass on to those trying online dating for the first time. We have a couple of guests who I'll introduce in just a moment. And Amanda is with us too.
Of course I am. Wouldn't miss this for the world, Michael. You know, there's been such a shift from when I was much younger, you know, advertising for a partner, so in the personal column of a newspaper, it wasn't really as socially acceptable, was it, as a way of meeting someone, as the online equivalent has become.
Not at the age of six when you were doing it, no.
But it is standard now. If you want to meet someone, sign up to an online dating site if you're hoping to find that special one.
That's right. And look, hundreds of people every day, thousands across the world, in fact, across Australia, are doing that every day. The difference between what we're hoping to happen, though, and what actually happens online can be surprising for first-timers, or even shocking and sometimes hurtful. Now, one of our guests for today's conversation is James Finlay. James produces The Hookup, which is Triple J's weekly take on sex and relationships. James also has a master's in public health, specialising in sexual health. James, memories of your first attempts at online dating?
Gosh, it's when you asked me to think about this, I really had to dig far back, because I can't remember a life or a time in my life when I wasn't dating online, because it's always existed for me. But I think...
Is it also because those first attempts are so embarrassing you've buried them?
No. No, I haven't buried them too far. I think, you know, the most embarrassing attempts when I first started was, you know, how to talk to someone online, and then maybe meeting up with them and, you know, maybe they don't look like their photo. I think they were some of the early mistakes that I made when I was starting dating online.
And when you posted your photo, was it accurate?
Of course I was accurate. I knew what I was doing.
I'll come back to you. Our second guest is Sarah Kalea, who's a counselling psychologist and sex therapist. Sarah, how much of a role does online dating play in the lives of some of your clients?
It's a large role. It's what's accessible now. It's what's permissible. It's what's attractive. And it's what's logistically doable. So, you know, wherever you are in the world, you can get online and you can communicate. And so it's attractive.
So if it's accessible and attractive and doable, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wonderful. Are you finding that people are coming to you and going, yeah, I haven't had a good time?
A lot. So, you know, I actually, when I was invited to do this, I asked broadly other people other than having client experience. And what I found is that people are really quite attracted to doing this. I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
Oh, we're just saying, are you saying that the clients are actually coming to you saying it was an issue, that even though I went online and I connected with some people, it didn't turn out very well?
That's right. But then also I had a client, for example, who needed a date for a wedding and put out online, I just need a date for a wedding. Is anyone up for it? They are now married.
Really?
So
as a result of that?
Absolutely. So, you know, this beautiful woman decided that she'd take a risk, met him and really engaged. So that honesty, that level of integrity, that putting it out there, this is really what I want,
yeah,
is unusual. So a lot of people really have deficit experiences because people aren't honest online. They're trying to elevate themselves and give an impression, like the wrong photo or, you know, information about themselves that really they can't live up to. So when people...
What I like about that story, if I can interrupt though, one of the things I love about that story is that there was low intention, low pressure to conform. Just come to a wedding with you. I just need a companion.
Yeah.
And because the pressure is off, I am searching for the one.
Yeah.
Now they're married.
Yeah. So as a psychologist, I say to people, when you have therapeutic goals, break it down into little chunks.
Right.
He broke it down into one chunk. I need a date for a wedding. And he had actually a lot of offers. He had to choose from the people who offered, and he chose quite wisely. And it was fun, you know. It was just really lovely.
Well, while we're talking about this, on the phone as a sort of caller to seed some of this advice we're looking for is a self-confessed accidental dating expert. She's also a blogger and a podcaster who calls herself Alison Tinderland. Alison, how long have you been on the search for something meaningful?
Michael, I've been around looking for love for about 2 decades.
2 decades. And have you found some on the way?
Oh, look, I've had some fun along the way, a couple of experiences here and there, but nothing lasting just as yet. But who knows?
Well, you've had 2 decades, so I take it, unlike James Finlay in the studio, who can't remember a time when he hasn't communicated via online for dates, you are old enough, I take it, therefore, to remember pre-dating online and now what it's like digitally. So how have things gone for you now that you're dating online compared to the olden days?
Well, I'm actually, I very much do remember the days pre-online dating. And I'm actually dating more now than I did back in the pre-dating days. Maybe that's an age thing, but the proliferation of technology and online dating has allowed for that. And I think as I've gotten older, my confidence has increased, and I'm actually enjoying it now. As much as it can be frustrating, it's enjoyable. But I was still a bit awkward back in pre-online dating days, and I think in the early online dating days, there was still a stigma around it.
You think that stigma's gone now?
I think it's leaving, it's going. More people are meeting online, more people are marrying, getting engaged, forming relationships. It's so acceptable now. So I think it's fine, no issue with it at all.
Well, just quickly, Alison, James has said, you know, photographs, being truthful in photographs wouldn't go astray. It's nice to be accurate. And Sarah said, look, just be honest about who you are and what it is you represent. What are some tips from you?
Look, I have to echo those really strongly. There is so much fault. It's a minefield, online dating. It's full of misinformation, people not representing themselves honestly. But I think Sarah was right. You have to have integrity. You have to be honest, and you have to be clear about what you're looking for. It depends where you are in your life cycle as well. If you just want to play around, you know, that's fine. Put up whatever you want. But if you're looking for love, you're looking for something permanent or long-lasting, be honest, be truthful, and then those people will come to you.
Oh, really? Okay, thank you. And you found this to be the case?
Look, I have. I'm as honest and open about my situation as possible and what I'm looking for. You get people, you know, I'm honest about the fact that I want a long-lasting relationship. You know, some men say they are, and actually they're just looking for a little bit of fun. But I will keep.
And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're honest about it, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And fun is good, but you just need to be. What I don't want is to kind of meet people that just want a one-night stand.
Right.
And again, if you're honest about that in your profile, those people will swipe right by you, and that's fine.
Alison, good to talk to you. Thanks very much for coming on.
No problem.
Alison Tinderland, who is a blogger and a podcaster. In fact, her podcast will be up soon, and we'll have some details about that when it does. And she's been dating online and offline for the last 2 decades. Amanda Smith.
Yeah, look, just first of all, some quick comments from Facebook that probably reiterate what we've been saying so far. One Facebooker says her rule number one is meet for a coffee or drink initially so you can escape if they're a twat. You do not want to be stuck eating a meal with them. Another one says meet in person. So many men online seem to be working overseas in Peace Corps and will soon be retiring to some obscure little town just up the road from me.
How convenient.
I live in the country, she says.
Yeah.
And another one, you need to be clear about what you're after from the experience. But once you've established that, meet them quickly. Don't get into lots of texting. If you haven't met them already, be prepared for your dates to look nothing like their photos and be honest about who you are. Now let's go to a call. Kerry is in Bathurst. Kerry, what's your advice or story?
Well, my story is, Amanda, that I haven't had a lot of success, and I wanted to make the point that when you spoke to the CEO of RSVP the other day, he wasn't particularly honest because he would have known that in their over 50s, there's three times as many women on these sites as there are men. And that makes it very difficult to find who you want to find.
Kerry, can I ask how you have come up with that ratio, that statistic? How do you know that?
It was born, well, I suspected that, and it was borne out by the fact that I went on one of these holidays called Rendezvous to Tasmania, and there were nine women on the trip and only two men. And
I do not doubt that for an instant, but at the same time, perhaps it's a different ratio when it comes to online figures. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying perhaps there's other ways of looking at the online world compared to the physical. And look, thank you very much for that call on that. Can I ask you, Sarah Kalea, as someone who's worked in the world of sex and therapy, have you had complaints from any clients that they feel like their gender is overrepresented when they go online?
I have a sense that there's more women willing to form a relationship out there and more men looking to play. So across all age groups, that seems to be the feedback that I get. So the minority of men are looking for a serious relationship is the feedback I get. And that concerns women because they really want companionship, they want some stability, and also they really want safe sex. So the implications for women with sex are pregnancy, infections, and so they're looking to select more carefully, whereas the men aren't always selecting as carefully, and that's a concern for them. And when they raise safe sex, when they raise issues of informed consent, then the men tend to fall off. So there's a real concern there too. So it's not just there are fewer men who seem to be wanting committed relationships. And I feel like the listeners that have called in are saying things like that. You know, they're implying that.
James, as a producer of The Hookup, how many times, I don't know, a year, does online dating come up as a topic in your conversations?
Look, it does come up nearly every week in some form or shape. You know, it's something like a lot of our listeners are online for so many reasons.
Yes.
And so it's only natural that on the dating and relationships and sex program that we do talk about online dating a lot, because a lot of people aren't meeting in real life, you know, as often as they did before.
Well, Kerry's complaint that women are overrepresented, whether that be, you know, in a trip to Tasmania or online, is that something that your listeners complain of?
No.
In a younger demographic?
No, the complaints that we hear from our listeners in regards to online dating is that men tend to be less picky when it comes to who they're finding in a partner and will swipe and say yes to many people to see if they get a result back.
Whereas, that'd be swiping right, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah. And whereas women are perhaps a little bit more choosy when it comes to picking who they are. So the complaint that we get from many women, and this is in heterosexual pairings, that it's when they get a match, it's like, oh, did they just flick because they like me, or did they flick because they just wanted to get a match? Which can be, you know, a huge anticlimax.
And also it sets up a level of distrust from the get-go.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So from the moment you start then communicating, whether that be on Tinder or any other app where you have to mutually match to converse, if one party is already not thinking the other person has the best of intentions, before you even begin to communicate.
Yeah, exactly. If that level of trust isn't there to begin with, like, what does that set up for the rest of your relationship?
Yeah, exactly so. We might go to Veronica in Melbourne. Veronica, you've got some very clear advice for people who are starting out in the scene of online dating.
Well, I don't know about clear. I just like to be clear myself in my intentions, and that way I can just wade through a lot of the guys I'm not from the beginning. So, you know, I can wade through the guys who want to have a one-night stand, and I can also wade through the guys who want to have children.
So when you say wade, you mean you've got filters in place, have you?
Well, filter, as in I have to say that it very straight up. I have to be blunt and just say, look, this is what I'm here for, and if it's not a good match, then, you know, we can kind of move on straight away.
So you've actually put that in your profile?
I mean, put it in my profile, but a lot of guys don't look in the profile. So then you just have to have that first initial awkward, hey, by the way, you know, I'm into monogamy. And it's surprising how many guys fall off straight away. and that's handy. But also in the same way, there's a lot of men who want to have children and I don't want to have more children. So it's good to clarify up front. And it just makes it easier than to know where you're at.
And Veronica, if I may ask, and you can tell me to bugger off, but are you seeing someone you met online?
Yes, I am.
And how did you two discover that you had a connection worth pursuing?
We met on the app Happn, which involves a little bit of serendipity because you actually have to cross paths in order to meet, and that appealed to me.
I'll just explain that some more because I've actually looked at Happn myself for the online dating series. It's like when someone says, can you sign this? It's for my niece. But I've been on the Happn app and it's essentially proximity, isn't it? So you have to be within a certain range of another person. And then if you both happen to be on the app, your photos flash up with each other, but you still can't communicate until you both say, I'd like to talk to you.
No, you can initiate it with other persons. So you can send a message to them, and I had a look through his profile, and you know, we had similar interests, and that appealed to me. So, but you know, I didn't know what his intentions were.
No.
We still had to kind of go through that.
So you negotiated that, and it's going okay.
It is. It is going okay. So I just find that that's been the most helpful for me, just sort of being able to, because it's a clumsy conversation, and it's not something that comes natural. To be so blunt straight away, but it just really helps.
That's fantastic. Veronica, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Let's hear now from Tim, who's in Lane Cove. Tim, you met your wife online. What sort of tips and advice can you offer, given your success?
Right. I want to take exception at something that was said first. I think one of the guests said meeting online as opposed to meeting in real life. Meeting online is real life. It's much better than going to some sleazy pickup joint. It's just that you're meeting, we've always communicated over the phone or we do all sorts of other communication by text and email and websites and stuff. So, I mean, I understand the stigma and I felt it myself at first, but I've just gotten over it now. I just think, well, it's such a more sensible way to know someone than the alternative.
Yeah, well, fair enough. And so... So what advice have you got for us?
Well, I think it depends on the website that you go on because we went on one that gave you lots of opportunity to screen the other person extensively before you ever revealed anything personal about yourself. So it sort of put lots of brakes on the relationship, which I think are really healthy. And, I mean, you could do that yourself, whichever site you're on, but I just think the fact that the site does that for you as well encourages you to do it.
Yeah.
And so there was heaps of opportunity to communicate. And the way we did it we communicated quite a lot before we ever actually met face-to-face.
All right, which is contrary to some of the advice we're getting on Facebook, which is to meet pretty quickly, don't muck around.
Yeah, I guess we were sort of middle ground.
It's down to the couple, really, isn't it, Tim? I mean, it's for you guys to negotiate that, really.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We did meet fairly quickly, but what happened was we had long, long, long emails before we met. So it didn't take a lot of time, but there was a lot of revealing of ourselves to each other, which really helped when we finally did.
Right, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Tim.
Good on you, Tim. Thanks very much. Kate, in the Blue Mountains, you've been dating online for a year. How's it been going?
Fantastic, yeah. I'm very happy. I've met somebody wonderful. Yeah, but it was quite a fun and interesting experience. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But
well, what have you learned about the techniques and maybe even about yourself in the last 12 months?
It's really good practice for just talking to strangers. And I actually think it is good to meet quickly. That's really how you're going to find out whether you've got some sort of connection, even if you might really like someone. There's still that attraction that kind of, I think you need to have a face-to-face meeting. But the thing I was giving my particular kind of advice about was if you, I was coming out of a 25-year relationship with a man, but I was interested in meeting a woman and I put myself on Pink Sofa, which is women meeting other women, and I you know, truthfully and honestly put myself down as a bisexual, and I had no contact with anybody. And and subsequently found out that if you identify as bisexual, a lot of lesbian women will not really contact you because they think you're just mucking about.
Is that right?
Which is, you know, kind of fair enough. So that's a tip. Don't
well, unless you are bisexual, in which case you're telling the truth. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I know, but it's not going to help you if you actually want to meet somebody.
Right.
And then, but I'd also been, you know, had my profile on RSVP, which is a very commonly used one. And, you know, I'd met some men and it was kind of interesting. But I realised, you know, it was going to take me a long time, if ever, to meet somebody I was really, really attracted to and interested in. And I just thought the compromise was too much. So I changed my profile. So I just was looking for women. But I still had myself down, you know, interested in men as well. And
so where you are know, you now, Kate? What's happened?
Sorry, I'm taking a while. Well, I met a woman who didn't realise that I was identifying as bisexual, thought I was a lesbian, and we had a very funny conversation about it after we met. I thought she was bisexual. Anyway, the upshot is I absolutely adore her, and I've been seeing her for about 7 months, and it's great.
Congratulations. That's fantastic to hear. And by the way, if you've just joined us, we're talking today about tips and advice we can hand on to those people who are perhaps starting their sort of story in online dating. They want some ideas and advice about how to proceed, because not only perhaps do they need to think about how they present themselves, but how they're going to deal with other people and the way they choose to present themselves too in that online negotiation. And with us to talk about this, well, along with Amanda and myself, counselling psychologist and sex therapist Sarah Kalea, and the producer of The Hookup, which is the sex and relationships program and podcast on Triple J, James Findlay. Sarah, can I ask you, as someone who works in this field professionally, so many lovely ideas and themes and concepts arising from calls. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the online world has enabled women. So for me, one of the standout characteristics of this new trend, relatively new, it's for some their entire lifetimes, is that women now can be curious. As the last listener said, she could identify as desiring a woman, desiring a man, being bisexual, you know, presenting it in a different way. And women haven't traditionally been able to do that. So that level of empowerment has been phenomenal. I spoke to a woman yesterday who identifies she has an extraordinarily high libido. So she gets online quite frequently to decide she wants a 20-year-old, she wants a 40-year-old, she wants a man that presents in this way and the other way. And that's what she puts out. This is what I want to do. I want to have fun tonight. Now, that was not logistically possible for women in the past without being scarlet women and being condemned. Now we can do it in secrecy. Having that anonymity is extraordinary. So it's enabled women to experiment and to express their sexuality. As we know, women actually are now sexual. In the past, it was denied.
Amanda, I think you may have someone there who's in the older age group.
Yeah, let's hear from Marcus, who's in Melbourne. Now, Marcus, you lost your first wife many years ago, and then at some stage, tell us about your online dating experience.
My first wife I met at Oxford, and she was put me in the shade. She was brilliant and a very different type of person. She died of kidney failure after some years on a kidney machine in the late 70s, died in 1981, but she made it very clear that I needed a partner. So whilst it took me a long time to overcome it, I put myself out there. Now, in 1981, what do you do? Well, I've been using computers since 1961, so the natural thing was try to find if there was a match service. And indeed, one of the very first ones was being run in Camberwell in Melbourne. And Tina had done the same thing. And we both put very honest, succinct specs up there. And the reason it was done that way was because if I'd gone to my usual haunts, I could not see how it would be possible not to have comparisons running forever. And I thought that would be fatal for any relationship.
So you used one of the very first online dating services available in the country.
Yep.
And you're still with...
Dot matrix printing and all.
That's brilliant.
Let me explain dot matrix printing to these younger people.
It could take hours, Marcus, but thank you so much, Andrew.
No,
that was really great.
It just means you have to get the point.
Yes, you do. You had to get straight to the point, and it's worked for you. Look, one quick call, and then we might do a bit of a wrap here from our guests in the studio. Colette, you're in the regional city of Wagga. Tell us about meeting your husband.
Well, I was actually living in Brisbane when we met, and I'd just come back from overseas. I'd been living in a few different countries and been engaged and got back to Australia, and I was just turned 30, and it was all a bit daunting being single. But I got on RSVP, and I can't tell you the source of this, but at the time, I think that there was, from 30 to 40, there's more men in actually on sites like that, or on that particular site, and then it swaps over, so there's more women. I think men just start to die off. But
nice. Nicely said, too, Colette. So much empathy.
We've been married for 11 years. We've been together for 13 years. And the thing that I found was that the beginning was different to a traditional kind of romantic meeting, in that it was quite pragmatic and quite... it was like a business interaction. I'm looking for this, 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 and this.
But you know, and that was 13 years ago, wasn't it?
And that was 13 years ago.
So you're still going?
Oh, yeah. And I think we've just, it's been so easy because we just covered all that hard territory before we even met.
Sorry to finish you off there, Colette, but we have to move on. But that's interesting, isn't it? Some people love the profile online because it gets people already sort of oiled up on what other people are like. Other people like to meet first. James, any quick advice before we say goodbye?
Yeah, just quickly, be yourself. You know, put your best foot forward, absolutely. But if you're not being genuine when you first start off, you're going to find it very hard to continue that in a relationship.
I'd like to say thank you to James and also to Sarah Kalea, and they were our guests today. And if you couldn't call but like to comment, drop us a voice memo or email at lifematters@abc.net.au.